What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember, He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because He took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down His face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, He yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when He was dangling on that cross, He was thinking of you. And He absorbed all your sin and He buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe He meant it.
I thought that was a great video. Yeah, I thought that was a great video because I don't want a religion. I want a relationship. See, that's my heart's desire. I want a relationship with God. And that's what this series of messages is really about. That we as a church are on this red carpet, just like at the Oscars, and they're asking us questions as we're walking down the red carpet. The world is looking at us. Just as we tuned our TVs in, the world, we're on the screen. Every day of our lives, in the workplace, in our homes, in the malls, at the shopping stores, wherever we go, we're on this red carpet. And what are we communicating? What are we saying as we live this life on the red carpet? I don't want a religion. I want a relationship. And last week I shared with you, and He talked about do and done, that really what we're looking at is that Jesus did it. Religion says it's what you do. You got to do enough. You got to do this and that. And when you finally do enough, you can have a relationship with God. But the problem is we never know when we've done enough. How do you know when you get there? How do I know what I've done is enough? And so what we have to understand is that we have Jesus who done it all for us. Jesus lived that perfect life, died that life for yours and my sin. And He rose from the grave. We're going to celebrate that in just a few weeks. And we're going to enjoy his resurrection because Jesus done it all for us. What I could not do for myself, Jesus done for me. And because I crossed that line, I can live for him, and I got to accept that. But here's the challenge. Last week I talked about how they see the church as judgmental and negative. Today I want you to think how they see the church as arrogant. Because here's the problem. Because I'm going to stand before you this morning, and as you walk out of here, we as Christians say this: Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the only way. So if you get your outline out, you can start filling it in, and we'll start looking and seeing what God says here in his word. But I want you to look at this. Jesus is the way. And when we start saying Jesus is the way, all of a sudden we're going to have some issues, and that's going to be a problem. But we need to understand Jesus is the only way. Look at what Jesus himself said. Look at this next scripture. It's coming up in just a minute. Look at the scripture. Jesus said to him, now he's talking to Thomas and the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Can that sound arrogant? Can that sound like we got the corner on God? That Jesus is the only way, that the world hears us say, there's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to a relationship with God but through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. That can sound arrogant. It sounds like we kind of got the corner on the market. But it's the truth. It's what the Word says. It's what the Bible says. Look again. It doesn't say it just once. Look how it says it again as we get into Acts. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The exclusivity. Don't you like that big word I couldn't even say? That the gospel is only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way but Jesus Christ. And so the world sits there and looks at us as we sit on this red carpet and say, what makes you think yours is the only way? What gives you the right to say that yours is the only way? See, we live in this pluralistic world that everybody has to have value and everybody's opinions have value and everybody needs to be right. We start this with kids who are little. I deal in the school system. Some of you have been in the school system. Some of you might even be teachers or been around teachers. They don't want any losers. So everybody, when somebody wins something, everybody's got to get something. I'm serious. I've seen the argument. You know, well, this kid's going to win something. Well, everybody in the class needs to win something. It's got to be fair. Everybody has value. Everybody's equal. Everybody's thoughts matter. And then we stand up and say, Jesus is the only way. And the world sits there and says, you're arrogant. What makes yours the only way? What makes you right and them wrong? And see, I think that's a challenge for us. And then we got to say it because we're supposed to share. Look what the word says. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. See, we as Christians, we not as a religion, but as a faith in Jesus Christ, want to share that good news. See, we want everybody to know. And see, that's where the problem rises up because we want to talk about it. We want to have a conversation. We want to share. It's become meaningful to us. It's become important to us. My faith is important to me as I'm sure yours is. And I want to share it. I want others to know it. And I want others to be a part of it. And so it's easy for us to sound like I've got all the answers. You know, here's the problem. I really don't have all the answers, but I know who does. You know, I don't have all the solutions, but I know who does. See, I know where to turn when I have questions. I know where to go when I don't have the answer. But when I stand on the red carpet, it looks like, hey, I have all of it. So what I want to talk about this morning, I want us to think about, what is my attitude? What's my attitude about these other religions? What do I think about Hindus and Islam? What do I think about Buddhists? What's my attitude? And so that's what I want us to drive home and I want us to think about this morning. Because here's what it's going to boil down to. I shouldn't have any kind of attitude. I don't have the corner on the market. I don't think I know everything. I know the one thing. I know it's Jesus Christ. And I know it's nothing I did. Because as I stand before people and as I share my faith, I need to understand that the only reason I can do it is because of the grace of God. Look at the scripture here. And some of you have probably heard this scripture over and over. By grace have you been saved through faith that is not of yourself, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, I can stand before people and share the message of Jesus Christ in humility, in sacrificially, because it's not about me. I can only do it because of who God is. I don't have some special knowledge about God. I don't have some special insight about God. All I do is I know God. That's all. Because he has revealed himself. Not because I'm good enough, not because I've earned it, but because of what he has done through Jesus Christ. It's not what we do, it's what he has done. And so what I want to share this morning, and here's my hope. My hope is this. Easter is coming. The greatest day of the universe, of the world, is coming. It's Easter. That is the epitome of the day. Christmas is a wonderful day, and I love Christmas. The birth of our Savior. That's an awesome day. But the greatest day is when Jesus rose from the grave to conquer death and sin. That's that greatest day. And it's coming around the corner. And people know that. And people look forward to that. That is the day when more people will go to church than any other day of the year. Is on Easter. And so what I want is I want you to invite them. I want you to talk to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. I want you to talk to your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. I want you to talk to your neighbor. I want you to invite them. And so I'm trying to share with you, how can you do that and not be judgmental or negative? Or how can you do that? And today I want to talk, how can you do that and not be arrogant? Not act like, hey, I've got it all figured out. That's hard because you know what? I do. I have it all figured out. I have life figured out, all right? I have it all solved. It's right here. Now, do I understand it? No. Do I get it all the time? No. You hear me tell you this all the time. Dan and I have a good time talking. All I know is this way. I'm going that way. That's all I know. I don't understand it all. I don't get it all. Things go wrong in my life. I have issues. I'm an issue sometimes, but I'm going that way. But it's so easy to sound arrogant. It's so easy to sound, well, Gary, you got life all together. That's one of my fears as I stand here and share God's word with you week after week, that you think, well, Gary doesn't have any problems. I am a problem, okay? You know, that's. So how can I share with my friends? How can I share with my neighbors? How can I share with my coworker? How can I have a lunch break and share? That's what I want to look at this morning. And so as you're looking at your outline, I want to begin with this. We're going to be walking on this red carpet. We are standing on the red carpet. And I want to assure you of something. You hear this said all the time, and I'm going to tell you, it's a lie. Well, maybe the way they word it is true, but the reality is a lie. People say two things you never want to have a conversation about. Anybody know what they are? Two things. Never have a conversation with your friends about what two things? Politics and religion. All right. Don't have a conversation about policy, but I'm going to tell you what. People are more willing to talk about the spiritual world today than ever. Don't talk about religion. That's not about religion. It's about that spiritual dimension in our lives. If you don't think so, turn your TV on. I mean, ghost hunters, poltergeist. There's one now. I see this all the time. I'm trying to think of how they word this. Celebrity hauntings or something like that. There's a spiritual desire out there. I'm going to tell you, they might not want to talk about religion, but if you want to talk about spirituality, you got an open door. So yeah, tell them, I'm not going to talk about religion, I'm not going to talk about politics, but you want to talk about that spiritual dimension? So the first thing you need to do to get in that spiritual conversation that people really want to have, I'm telling you, you need to befriend somebody. You need to befriend somebody. Who are you living with? Who are you walking with? Who are you talking with? Most of us hang around with people like us. Most of us, if you live in my world, most of my people either go to church, been around church, know church. That's most of my circle. But you know what? I need to befriend those outside of the church. I need to befriend those who are not like me. Some of you may recognize this scripture because Jesus was accused of having a problem here. Look at what it says. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Can you believe the preacher's hanging around with a bunch of rotten people? Yeah. But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifices, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." I want to challenge you this morning to befriend somebody who is far from God. I want to challenge you this morning to build a relationship with somebody who does not, has not known God and is far from God. We had a great conference called On Target. I like the guy's statement because here's the problem. We are calling people to come back to church who have never been in church for once yet. We're calling, come back to church, and they've never been in church. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. That's how old I am, okay? That's enough information. I grew up in the 60s. Everybody went to church. Sunday rolls around, everybody went to church. I didn't know anybody that didn't go to church when I was growing up. Nowadays, the vast majority of people don't go to church. When you drive out here, I'm going to ask you, when you drove here this morning, how many people on your street were getting ready and leaving going to church? There's just not a lot. We can't say come back to church. We got to go after them. And so I want to challenge you, will you befriend somebody who is far from God? Will you begin to build a relationship with somebody who is far from God? To help you out, I gave you a line to put somebody's name on. Ha ha. I want you to put somebody's name on today, now. I want you to put somebody's name on. I want you to write a name down that you're going to befriend, that you're going to work on a relationship with, that you're going to intend to invite for Easter Sunday. That's the challenge. I want you to write somebody down that you're going to invite. Somebody that you want to be a part of it. See, we look at the world, and I'm going to tell you, they might be trapped by sin, okay? I believe sin is a trap. Anybody? I believe people get sucked into it. People get deceived. People get pulled down. I've seen people who want to get out and want to change their lifestyle, but for whatever reason, I'm going to tell you what that reason is. It's called Satan. They get sucked back in. They get dragged back in. They get pulled back down. You see, anybody have friends like that? They really want to do what's right. They really want to go right, but for some reason, Satan just keeps pulling them down, keeps dragging them back. And so you need to put their name down here, you know? Maybe they're poor and you just don't hang around with poor people. Or you know what? I'm going to tell you, there's two classes of people. There's poor we don't want to mess with, and those up and outers. You got the poor downers and the up and outers, all right? And we need to realize everybody needs Jesus. And so who do you need to befriend? Who do you need to work out? You know, they're behaving badly. You know what? I think sometimes we act like people who are in the world, not really following God, doing their own thing. We act like they got a plague. You know, they got a disease. We can't get close to them because we're going to catch that disease. You know, that's a plague. And I want to challenge you this morning. Who do you need to befriend? Can you write a name down there? Is there somebody you can think of that you would love to see walk with Jesus? Somebody you can think of that you would love to see them having a relationship with God? Somebody that you'd like to write a name down that you want to see walk in the golden streets of heaven with you. Is there a name you want to write down? Somebody. Who will you befriend? I don't think it's going to work. This is my thing that bugs me so much. When somebody says, I don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus. Listen. There's about 36 million people in California. That's California, okay? Out of 36 million, they estimate there's maybe 3 million Christians. So that leaves 33 million people. You're going to tell me you don't know one of 33 million people who doesn't know Jesus? You don't know one of 33 million who are far from God? If you don't, you need to make sure you build one. You know, I can tell you how to find one. When you go home, go knock on your neighbor's door. They'll be there. Who do you need to befriend? Who do you need to reach out for and befriend? Because see, here, I want you to write a word down here. Somewhere in there, write the word trust. Because see, what you're doing is you're building a trusting relationship. When you're befriending somebody, you're building a trusting relationship. See, when you're building that relationship, they're going to start trusting you. There's a friendship. There's something going on. And in the midst of that conversation, you can begin to have those spiritual conversations. So you need to befriend somebody. So that's the first thing. If you want to reach out, you don't want to be arrogant, you just want to touch somebody's life, you befriend them. You start walking with them. You start being with them. Invite them out to lunch. Invite them over for dinner. Invite them out. Take some time. You know, you go to school and there's this one kid sitting over there on the table by himself. You remember those days? Anybody remember those days? The one kid that was nobody talked to? Maybe you need to be the one who gets up and goes over there. You know, you go to the workplace and maybe you're having lunch and there's that one guy at work that everybody just, oh man, he's a jerk. Yeah. Maybe you need to get up and go sit next to him and befriend him. Maybe that's that one, your neighbor, that everybody says, oh man, that I had old man Khrushchev. We called him old man Khrushchev down the street at our house. Lived on the corner down there, just a rotten old guy. He was just a rotten old guy. But got to know him later on in life. He ended up being by himself. He needed rides to the hospital and to the doctor. My brothers and I would go down there and pick him up. Because you know what he did for us? Somebody tried to steal our mini bike one night. And he caught the guy on the canal. And he, of course, he had a gun, you know, back in the 60s, you know, stopped the guy. So we became friends after he saved my mini bike. You know? But then I'd been taking him to the doctor and we built a relationship. Who do you need to build a relationship with? Who do you need to befriend? Step number one. That way you won't sound arrogant. You won't sound judgmental. You won't sound negative. You built a relationship. Number two is you need to have a basic understanding of the world's faiths. You need this basic understanding about what is everybody believing out there? What is all these world religions and what is all this other stuff out there that people are following? And this is, you need a basic knowledge. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be a scholar in other faiths, because I'm not. You know, I couldn't tell you a lot about all the others, but I have a little basic understanding. But it goes back to the scripture. I want you to look at what Paul was saying. Look at this. Paul's trying to preach. He's over in Athens. And while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." Paul sat there and he had a conversation. I want you to notice that. Circle that word reason. Paul didn't sit there and lecture to him. He didn't arrogantly say, "Hey, you guys are idiots following these other things over here." Paul sat down and he reasoned with him. He sat down and kind of had a conversation and carried on a dialogue with him and started talking with him. And in the midst of that conversation, he was sharing about Jesus. And so it was a conversation, not a lecture. Not, I've got something you don't know. I know something you don't know. He was just having a conversation about all these religious. And, you know, he's in Athens, the center of the Greek philosophers. That's why you got the Stoics and all of the Epicureans and you got the gods on Athens Hill over there. We're going to get there in just a minute. We're going to read on in the story in a few minutes. And he had all this. He's sitting there kind of conversing with them. So what I want to do is I'm just going to give you just a little picture about the world religions, to kind of set things in context for you. So you kind of have a little background about some basic things. I want you to look at this picture here. Just kind of a picture here. You can't read everything on there. But you kind of get an idea here. In the beginning, God created it, right? Anybody? Almost every religion believes that. Somewhere there was a beginning. God created. About Genesis chapter 11, we have what's called the Tower of Babel. Anybody remember that one? People decide they wanted to be like God, so they're going to build a tower and get up to where God is. Well, in the process of building it, God says, you can't get up here. I'm going to make sure. He gave them different languages. And they scatter around the world. They start going everywhere. And so as they scatter around the world, some of them go to the east. They go into China and Japan, and they head east in the eastern areas. And they start these other religions over there. You got Hinduism and Buddhism. And so they're heading east, starting these other religions. Some of them head west, and they start these others. You got the Egyptians and their various gods. You go on down, you got the Greeks and the Romans. And their gods. You know, and they kind of go on down through. This is just kind of a brief picture. You know, it kind of starts out with the creation and then the Tower of Babel, and everybody just kind of disperses everywhere. And as they go everywhere, all of a sudden, all these other religions start popping up. You know, they're going to start worshiping all these other gods and Confucius and Buddha and Hindu and all of this. And over here, you're going to have Zeus and I don't know what all those others are. Apollo and Hercules, and I'm not good on Greek mythology or the Romans. I'm not good in that area. I never got into that in school. But you have all these. But in the middle, you kind of see we got Judaism comes down, birth in about 1400s, 1500s. Christianity splits off a little later than that. Then comes Islam, kind of splits off. That's just kind of a broad picture of all these religious faiths and all these religious beliefs. But you need to have conversation, and you need to see people, they want to have it. They don't know this. They don't understand this. So here's the word I want you to write. We wrote the word trust earlier. Write the word listen in there somewhere. You need to listen. You need to have a conversation. You need to listen. Where are they at in all of this? How do what they believe fit into all of this? You know, this kind of gives you a picture. This is kind of how the world religions began for me as a Christian. This is what I would say. You got the creation, then you got the Tower of Babel, and everything's kind of centered in the Middle East. And out of that Middle East, things kind of spread out. And after the Tower of Babel, they go both ways, and some go to the east, and you get the Eastern religions, and then some go to the west, and you start getting all the Greek and the Roman and the Egyptian gods. And you just kind of got a big picture. Keep following on down, and you get the birth of Judaism. Now the birth of Judaism comes the birth of Christianity. And a little later comes the birth of Islam. And you can have this conversation. This is just kind of a basic belief about world religions and where they came from. You need this basic understanding of these worlds and the faiths and what's out there. And you can kind of ask them, well, where do they fall? You know, where do what you believe? I got down here, there's Wicca. I'm not sure what Wicca is. I read a little bit about it, but it's something new and upcoming out there. You got the New Age movement over there you can have. You know, there's all sorts of stuff we can have over there. Out of here, you know, you can see where recreation comes in and all sorts of stuff happens. But that's kind of the big picture. You need this basic understanding in the midst of your conversation. Show them that you're just, all I know is God, and it doesn't matter what you believe, God's the only way. You need to understand some of these others and some of what they believe. But after you understand them, it doesn't stop there. You've listened. You had a conversation. You know, there's trust going on. And then I put it this way. You need to be able to explain why all paths don't lead to God. All right? Why doesn't everything lead to God? We had all these religions, you know, because if you look at that map, it could really come back to God. It really could. But as these religions split off, do they really come back to God? Do they really come back to that one God who created and who formed everything? Paul went on. Listen to what I continued that conversation with Paul. Look at the scripture. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord. That's later. That's just Peter, excuse me. The Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. This one, I want you to circle the word gentleness and respect. And that's the word I want you to write in this little area somewhere, that word respect. You need to have this conversation, a respectful conversation. Why don't all religions lead to God? Or do all religions lead to God? You know, do they all fit in? And does that path just go to God? If you just follow that path, you're on the Hindu path. Does it lead to God? You're on the Islamic path. Does it lead to God? So what I did is I got a picture of a mountain. So I found a picture of a mountain. If you're not familiar, that's called the Matterhorn. All right? So if you want to know what that is, that's the Matterhorn. It isn't a replica of the Matterhorn. It might be a Disneyland. I don't know why I got a Disneyland picture, but I got a Disneyland picture. And it is a replica of the Matterhorn. And so what I did is I put God on top. There's a picture and there's another one. We put God on top. All right? So we got God on top of the mountain, just like Moses. Remember, Moses went to the mountain and there was God. So we got God on top of the mountain, and now we got all these other faiths, and they're all trying to get to the top. And so I got these trails going up to see God. Now, do all trails lead to God? Here's what I want you to know. I'm not afraid to sit down and let's compare. I'm not arrogant. Let's just talk about God. Let's just have this conversation about God. I'm willing to lay my God out. Well, just we'll put God out here, and we'll put Islam out here, and I'm just going to take as an example just the Hinduism. I'm not going to be critical of Hinduism, just them as an Eastern religion. And let's kind of talk about, okay, whose God is God? Do they all go to God? That doesn't matter. As long as you're sincere, you know, as long as what you believe is really real and you're committed to it, you know, it's all the same God. You know, it's like, you know, I've heard this, you know, it's like God is the elephant. People just got their hands on different parts. It don't work that way. But I'm willing to lay my God out and see who God is God. But here's where the problem starts to arise. Because what we need to do is we need to define God. We need to define who God is. And this is where we can lay out our conversation. Because as we look at this chart here, the reality is, I got another picture. Who's God for these world faiths? And we got... Let's look at Hinduism first. Let's put a picture up here of Hinduism. The Hindu define God as, well, guess what? There's many of them. They don't have one God. They have a multitude of God. Some of my reading, they have more than 1,000 gods. Most of those Eastern religions have these multitude of gods. There's thousands of gods. They're all God, and they have all these gods. Okay, so there we have Hinduism, many gods. All right. Then we got the Islam. We got another one here. We got the Islamic God. Okay, here the Islamic God is a monotheistic. He's only one. There is just one God, and he's Allah, and he's a monotheistic God, and there's just one God. So you got over here on this one extreme, you got many gods. Eastern religions and many religions today, Buddha and all of it. Here's all these gods. Then you go over here. You got Islam who says there's just one God. All right. Now, is that the same God? I mean, would all paths lead to that same God? Is that the same God? It's a different God, isn't it? You can't say, well, God is one and God is many. It doesn't work. So now you got two mountains with God on it, right? You can't just say God's at the mountain and all paths lead to God because there's two different gods. So now you got to have two mountains. Well, let's throw Christianity in there. Now we got Christianity in there, and we have a Trinitarian God, all right? See, our God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but he's one. You know, kind of a confusing teaching. I don't understand it all the way. You know, try to explain that. That's a hard one. The Trinity's really difficult to delve into. But now all of a sudden we got one God, and he's a Trinitarian God. Jesus is his Son. Jesus came, gave his life, died on the cross that we could believe in him and be the only way to God. Now, just so you know, for the many gods, no problem. Jesus is a God. All right? Jesus is just one of their gods. Okay. Over here for Islam, Jesus is just one of the prophets. He'll join Abraham and Moses and all of them, and he'll be one of the prophets. But when you come to Christianity, Jesus is God. So what you have to have is three mountains because you got three different gods. See, most people, when they say, well, all paths lead to God, have never really thought this through. That's why, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. If you tell them who God is and you start defining God, they have to go, yeah, that's a different God. That's a different. Well, then you got to pick. See, they haven't spent time and they just make these off-the-cuff remarks that, well, all religions lead to the same way. All paths go to God. God's God. But then you start saying, well, let's look at them. You can lay out this picture and look, well, you know, you got to take your pick. You got to pick. Which God are you going to pick? You know, which God do you want to follow? I don't know about you, but many gods gets too confusing for me because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. One God sounds good. Okay, I believe in one God, but getting to heaven means I got to work, and when do I know if I did enough? You know, you really never know if you've done enough until you get there. I want to know before I get there that I'm getting there. You know, I don't want to be up there and be a nickel short. You know, it's like, oh, man, you're a nickel short. You don't get to come in. It's only a nickel. You know? So I don't really think I want to go with that one. You know what? As I look at this chart, I think I want the Christian God. First of all, because I don't believe there's any other God. That's kind of arrogant, but that's the truth. Second, because I am saved by grace. I'm saved through a relationship with God. See, and we need to set this out. See, doesn't that sound more loving and compassionate than sitting there saying, Jesus is the only way, turn or burn? Yeah. Laying it out so they could see it and let them see what's going on. Having that conversation, listening, conversing, sharing, showing respect for one another. You know, and this is where apologetics and, you know, studying about all the defense of the Gospels and why I believe the Bible, and I've preached sermons on that already. I've shared with you, and I'll be sharing different ones. We're going to come up on God's Word again in October, and we're going to be being God's Word, and why can you trust the Bible, and why should you trust the Bible, and we'll begin that in October. But you understand, why is God God, and which one are you going to be? I'm going to ask you, which one do you want? You know, I don't know. Which God would you prefer to serve? A God of grace and mercy? A God you can't figure out which one you're going to go to? Or a God that, well, you got to work hard to get there. Maybe you'll make it or not. I'm going to choose the middle one, all right? That's my path. But there's going to be one God, and that's God. And I just want us to share that. And so we begin to share those words. And look at this next scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one God. See, by definition for me, there can only be one God. See, in order to be God, you got to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. That's the definition of God for me. Well, if there's more than one God, you can't be all-powerful because there's several that are powerful. Which one's the strongest? Hercules. Okay, we'll take Hercules. So for me, the definition of God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. There can only be one, because if there's more than one, it's not all-powerful then, because there's others that are equal to him. So he's not all-powerful. So I choose God. I choose the God of the Bible. I choose the God of grace. I choose the God of mercy. I choose the God of love that loved us so much he sent his one and only son to die on a cross for us. That's the God I'm going to serve. See, we have to choose. We got to share with our friends. Not arrogantly, but in a humility and in an attitude that we can sit there and have a spiritual conversation, not a religious conversation, a spiritual conversation about, well, who is God? That's it. You know, who is God? And draw a picture here and let them see that, well, all paths don't lead to God, and you got to choose. And wouldn't you want the God who loves and cares and mercy, never leaves you, a God of grace, a God who's done all the work for you, all you have to do is receive it? Yeah. And so you lay out your faith and you lay out what you believe and you talk about it. And this is what Paul did. Remember we started there, Paul was there in Athens talking about them and all the stuff. Listen to how Paul continued that conversation here. Look at this. So Paul, standing in the midst of the building, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are a religious. For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with an inscription to the unknown God." What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. Paul's sitting there saying, hey, we sat around and we reasoned together. We had these conversations. I see all your other gods out here. I've listened to what you've said. I've had these conversations. But now let me tell you about Jesus. Let me explain who Jesus is. And so Paul sets out to share with them the message of Jesus Christ. And that's our calling. And so my calling for me as your pastor is to equip you to share the good news and to challenge you to do it. Now, last week I gave you a demonstration, gave you a little business card. If you didn't get one, you can come up here and get one. Do versus done has a little outline. Just do versus done. Religion says do. Do you ever know if you've done enough? Do you do enough? Jesus says it's done. He paid the price. He died on the cross, rose from the grave. He done what I could not do for myself. And now I just need to do something with that and receive it. This morning, I want to share another way you can share your faith. It's called the bridge. All right, this is the bridge illustration. And so I had to go and draw this. So I went to a place that I could share this, show how easy it is. Let me do the definition of evangelism first. Boy, I get ahead of myself sometimes. Here's what I think evangelism is. I love this definition. Leaving the people that I have met with a better understanding of God than they would have had they never met me. I think that's a simple definition. You don't have to sit there and beat somebody in the head with the Bible and say, you got to believe. You just got to lead them a little bit better. Maybe all you did was plant a seed about, hey, these other gods, I better think more about this. I'm not sure if I've been thinking right. Maybe you just planted a seed, but you left them just a little bit further down the path. And so I have a bridge illustration. I want you to look here. I went to a place and so I could sit down and draw the picture. So yesterday afternoon, even though I'm doing the Daniel plan, and you know what? I figured out how to lose weight, all right? I've got it. It's easy, okay? Here, I'm going to share everybody. It's really easy. You go out and you buy bigger clothes. All right, because they, you know, I got this suit from somebody else, and they said, man, it looks like you lost a lot of weight. Yeah, I did. So if you want to lose weight, just go to the store and buy bigger clothes and put them on. Everybody goes, man, it looks like you lost weight. But I went to Taco Bell yesterday, and I sat down, and I ate, and I drew out how to share the bridge, because all you need is a napkin, and guess what I got up here for you? I got some napkins for you in case you didn't have any at home. I want to make sure you had some napkins. And I got a little paper, blue paper, that says how to do it. But I'm going to show you. Here's what I did. Look what I did here. Here's the next picture. See, here's the situation. God created us, and he formed us. We got us and God. We're formed in the image of God, and God loves us, and God cares about us, and God wants to know us. So I had a little picture of us and God. And so you can see it there. I got a little close-up picture to it. You got a little bit closer. So I just wrote the words us and God. So God created us and God loves us and God cares about us and he wants a relationship with us because that's who he made us to be with him. But a problem arises and the problem is called sin. We rebelled. We decided to do things our own way. So all of a sudden, we got a gap. There's a problem. There's a canyon. There's a grand canyon between us and God. Rebellion. We've sinned. We've done things. And that rebellion leads to death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. It all leads to death. And the problem is I've tried to figure out how to get across. All right? You know, all these different religions dumps me right off the edge. All my good works, all my efforts, all the stuff I strive and struggle to do plunges me down the cliff. I've tried all these other ways to get across, and they just don't work. You know, how many times have you tried to get into a relationship with God? I just want to get closer to God. And you work at it, and nothing happens. Because it's by grace. It's a gift. And so we just keep plunging off the cliff. Philosophies, good ideas. I try this, I try that. And we just can't seem to get across. But God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and he built a bridge for us. And so he crosses out death. I live a resurrected life, and I have a bridge. All I got to do is walk across the bridge and just take a walk. The bridge is built. It's a walk by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the last picture I have a guy just walking across the bridge. See, all of us can share the message of Jesus. It's real simple. I've never forgot this. Bill Sims, a really good friend of mine, came in. Some of you might remember Bill. He came and preached many times for us. I love the man. I need to call him. He's supposed to be moved into Stockton, back out of Texas, moved back to Stockton. I haven't called him yet. But I've never forgot this. We're visiting for a revival. I'm taking around introducing him to people. And Bill was, he was good at sharing and telling people about Jesus Christ. I mean, one day we get in an elevator in Pasadena, and the guy goes, oh, I need to go down. And Bill goes, no, you don't want to go down. Let me tell you. And begins to tell a guy about Jesus. You know, we're at McDonald's, and we're paying at McDonald's, and he's telling the kid about Jesus. We're getting out of our car at a restaurant in Sausalito, and the guy's going to park our car for us. And Bill starts witnessing to him. I mean, it's just. But I remember the time we're sitting on this couch at this lady's house here in town. And we're sharing with her. And she'd been to church every once in a while. And so we're witnessing, and he's talking. And on her wall was a picture of a cowboy on a horse and a canyon. And on the other side of the canyon was a cow. And Bill sits there and looks at the picture, and we're just conversing with the lady, and he looks, he goes, you know what, that reminds me about our relationship with God. You know, it's like, you know, God's on this side, and we're on that side, and God wants us on. I mean, I'm sitting there, Bill just, God gifted him. I want to tell you, we're all gifted. You can, the bridge illustration is just really easy. You can sit there with a napkin, any restaurant, any lunch place, you're sitting around with a coworker, whatever, dining room table with your neighbor, with your friend, with a relative, just us, God. You can see I'm no artist. That's pretty poor. You know? And you can just share the, and I just want to challenge you. And so as I'm going through this series of messages over the next 2 weeks, we got two more of these to go, I'm going to share some other ways. So what I did is like I did last week, there's some do versus done cards up here that just kind of tell you, here's the outline, real simple. There's some napkins up here in case you don't have any at home. You might need them. All right. And don't tell Taco Bell. I just tuck them. So they might be missing some. But there's a little blue paper that kind of describes the bridge thing for you. But you know what? I'm going to share something with you. I went on the internet, typed bridge illustration, and there are a lot of them on the internet. Okay? They're all over. You can just do it. They really made it complicated. You know, you got to fine-tune it. You got to make it better. Well, you know what's better? Simpler is better. There's a cavern. We're lost. We got to get across. Get me Jesus. See, it's really simple. See, can we share our faith without being arrogant? Can we tell people that Jesus is the only way? That there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ? That I am the way, the truth, and the life but through Jesus Christ? Can we do that in a non-arrogant, non-threatening way? I believe we can. If you befriend somebody, you understand different faiths, and you're able to explain why Jesus is the only way, you can do it. Open, honestly, you listen, you trust, you respect, and you can share the message of Jesus Christ. See, I want to encourage you to share the message. At the bottom of the page, I put it this way. Just real simple words here. I see a hurting world that needs Jesus. I shared with you last week. I'm going to share again this week. Can you imagine God dwelling in heaven and looking down? Now, I'm going to look down on the world of Rome, okay? He's in heaven. He's getting ready to send his one and only son. And he's looking down into Rome. Now, we think we have it bad today. I'm going to tell you, you think our world is bad? Go back and read the Roman history. All right? I mean, the orgies. You know, we talk about homosexuality and all of that. They had their common baths. They had everything going on back then. You know, I told you, they would gorge themselves at a party, go out, regurgitate, come back in so they could eat more. Literally. That's what they were doing. And God looks down on this world like that and says, I'm going to send my son to die. We look at our world and we say, I can't touch them. I can't. You know, my neighbor, they do. You know, they party every weekend. You know, they got beer in their refrigerator. Can you believe that? Man, gotta be careful. Some way it might appear in yours. Kind of migrate over there. It doesn't have to happen that way. Do you see a hurting world? I'm going to tell you something. The world out there is hurting. How many of you have neighbors, friends, relatives, aunts, uncles, brothers, fathers, mothers, whoever it is, that's hurting today? I mean, their lives are hurting today. Can the message of Jesus Christ make a difference? See, I want to challenge you to befriend somebody. Who will you befriend? Who will you begin to build a trusting relationship with so that you can share the message of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you love us, Lord, in spite of our past, in spite of today, our poor choices, our bad behavior, our choice of words, that you love us. But not only do you love us, you love those outside these walls. You love that rotten neighbor, that aggravating coworker, that student that just rubs us the wrong way. But Lord, you love everybody. Help us have a love for others. Help us see the world like you see the world, like you've seen us, and how you changed us. Lord, give us a heart for the people that are far from you, that we can share, that we can befriend and share the message of Jesus Christ. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what your prayer